Hello, hello guys. Today we are going to talk about green chemistry and nanochemistry. See, I have discovered that almost of all those topics which I have conducted, this is the one which is very easy. I mean the easiest, and I have by accident neglected it. I mean, I have now discovered that I should give this topic a fair chance and I should at least make some content on this topic because this is very easy, guys. It's really very easy and it's interesting as well because the chemistry is green now. We are fed up with the gray carbons, they are boring, just boring. But green chemistry, though it has carbons, is better. So let's start with the introduction. See, chemistry plays an important role to improve the quality of your life. Your life depends on chemistry. The medicines you take, the food you consume, the preservatives in your food, the compounds, the plastic, everything. The chair in which you maybe are sitting has plastic. The computer or the cell phone, the semiconductors in it, all is about chemistry, everything. So, chemistry plays a very important role, but unfortunately, because of this achievement, our health and global environment are under a great threat. See, plastic, it's a threat. See, it's a boon, but if not used wisely, it's a bane. Again, that's about every other thing in the universe. Nuclear energy is a boon if it is used wisely, but if it isn't used wisely, it is a bane. That's about everything else. So, that same applies to chemistry. And hence, this is the topic, green chemistry. The chemistry is green here, and we know what is green, actually. What does the color green indicate? It indicates life, it indicates happiness, it indicates a fulfillment, and it indicates environment as well. So we need to adapt to green chemistry at any cost because green is the future. Green chemistry is an approach to chemistry that aims to maximize efficiency and minimize hazardous effects on human health and environment. The concept of green chemistry was coined by Paul Anastas. Now, let's move to the definition and scientific way of saying green chemistry. Green chemistry is the use of chemistry for pollution prevention by environmentally conscious design of chemical products and processes that reduce or eliminate the use of generation of hazardous substances. So, to reduce the impact of energy crisis, pollution, and to save natural resources, we need to implement 12 principles of green chemistry, just straight 12 principles, which are again enunciated by Paul Anastas. So, the 12 principles are very simple, and you may find that these are repeating. I mean, it's the same concept repeated again and again. So, I'm going to first read the titles of these 12 principles. But before that, we need to encounter a topic known as substantial development. What is this? We also need to see what is sustainable development. So, green chemistry plays a very important role, as said previously. We can achieve sustainable development by adapting the 12 principles, which I'm going to read now. And sustainable development is development that meets the needs of the present needs, without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own need. So, sustainable development has been continued to evolve as that protecting the world's resources, because sustainable development is protecting the resources, and we need the resources for better purposes. We require that petrol, not for your car, but for a better purpose, for going to Mars, for exploring new places. That's where these things are required. That's where electricity cannot help us. But in case of cars, electricity can. So rather get an electric car from next time and better be a Tesla. Yeah. So, principles of green chemistry. First is prevention of waste or byproducts. We need to prevent waste or byproducts. Second is about atom economy. Atom economy is a very confusing word in itself. Atom economy is a measure of the amount of atoms from the starting materials that are present in the useful products at the end of the chemical process. Don't get confused. Just listen again. Atom economy is just like every other economy. It's the counting of the atoms and its measure from the starting material. See, if there is a material which has X number of atoms, at the present state, it will have some different amount of atoms. So if the product which you have obtained is very useful, then how much atoms is it having now? Has its rate decreased? If there is a very, very much decrease in the amount of atoms, that means you have wasted a lot of atoms. And by wasting these atoms, you have created something which is not useful for you. So that's about atom economy. It's very simple. But the only thing about it tricky is that it is starting from the fundamental thing. Okay. So that's the tricky part about it. Or else atom economy is very easy. It's really very easy. So good atom economy means most of the atoms of the reactants are incorporated in the desired products and only small amount of unwanted byproducts are formed, and hence lesser problems of water dispersal. So it's so simple, right? It's now so easy. So let's continue. The concept of atom economy gives the measure of the unwanted. The measure of the unwanted is an important part of it. And the percent of atom economy is the formula weight of the desired product upon the sum of the formula weight of all the reactants used in the reaction. So again, the percent of atom economy is formula weight of the desired product upon the sum of the formula weight of the all reactants used in the reactions by 100. It's simple. The product upon the reactant. That's it. They are telling the same thing. The product which you have got, which is useful for you, upon the reactant. Here, the part in the product is excluded, of which is the extra thing. That part is excluded. Next, we move to less hazardous chemical synthesis. We first saw prevention of waste. Second is atom economy. Third is less hazardous chemical synthesis. What is it about? So we design chemical reactions and synthesis routes which should be as safe as possible. We want to make sure that these are very, very safe. And it is necessary that these are safe so that we can avoid formation of hazardous waste from chemical processes. So you guys must know, right? There are a lot of hazardous chemicals which are formed and they need to process. But if they are not processed, then that's a threat to the environment, because this can disturb the aquatic life. The complete ecosystem can be disturbed. And that's a big threat. So fourth is designing safer chemicals. What they say is, green chemistry guys say is, if you're making chemicals, it's okay. It's okay if you're making chemicals, but make sure that they are as safe as possible. Make them safer, not easier. If a process is easier, but is making a lot of effluents, a lot of waste, which is dangerous, don't go by this easier process. Go by the difficult process, but get a safer chemical. But the problem is, not every person gives an attention to this. Not every person is willing to listen to them. And that's the threat to the human civilizations. Fifth topic is use safer solvent and auxiliaries. Now you may find that the fourth topic was using safer chemicals. Fifth topic is use safer solvent and auxiliaries. By a sense, they talk about the same thing from different areas, from different corners of it. Next is about designing for energy efficiency. We need to be efficient in the energy. Design stuff in a way that it is energy efficient. The seventh is use of renewable feedstocks. Use stuff which is renewable. Make sure that the stuff is renewable. And the next is reduce the derivatives. Now, what are derivatives? Don't think about the math part. This is not that derivative. The smallest indivisible or the smallest part? No, not that one. Derivatives are the byproducts in a sense. I mean, if a reaction is taking place, some byproducts are formed. These byproducts are derivatives. Next is use of catalysts. Catalysts are the best solution and the friends of green chemistry. I'll tell you the reason. Catalysts are great people. They come in a reaction, they do all the stuff way faster than the normal process, and then they collect themselves back, they collect their apparatus, their setup, and go out of the reaction as they were before the reaction. So I mean, they are excellent people doing excellent job. Now beware, don't tell anybody that catalysts are living organisms organisms. They are not, okay? I'm just referring them. I'm giving them personification in order to make you better understand. But catalysts are elements or compounds which come in the reaction, which change themselves and conduct the reaction at a faster rate, even in the presence of less amount of heat or other stuff. And after the reaction is conducted, a second reaction occurs in which the catalyst is again formed back and the final product is obtained. So that's the greatness of catalyst. And catalysts can work at any temperature. They don't have problems related to temperature. I mean, if you are conducting a reaction at a normal state, you need to conduct a reaction at a specific temperature, or there are some objections. But in case of catalyst, the temperature decreases. Why so? Because the activation energy decreases. And if you don't know what is the activation energy, and if you have not studied it, I have conducted a lot of sessions about it, and I have discussed this specific thing, activation energy, in physics as well as in chemistry. So search for those episodes, or else I'll put the link in the description section. Next is designing for degradation. They say whatever you design it in a way that it can be degraded. It can turn to the soil and become one of it. So that's not applicable with plastic, right? Plastic will stay even if the earth gets destroyed. And that's the threat about plastic. So we need to design the chemicals which can degrade. Use degradable stuff like paper. Paper is degradable. Yes, so paper is better than plastic. We don't require plastic in unnecessary areas. Try using a paper bag if the stuff you are carrying is light. If the stuff is too heavy, try using a jute bag or a cloth bag. Don't use plastic for carrying stuff. Plastic is good for things like your computer, your desktop, your PC, your mobile phone, your softwares, the furniture, the parts of even machines. It's good for that, but it's not good for using as carry bags, because that plastic, the specific plastic which you use in carry bags, it's dangerous. Now, if you want to know more about plastics, what you can do is search over Google the chart to sort plastic materials in daily life. I repeat, the chart to sort plastic materials in daily life. On this chart, you will find all the household plastics which are used and how they can be degraded. Now, this is an initiative from your hand, your side, which will help your locality, your ecosystem. So save your Mother Earth. Next. Real-time analysis of pollution prevention. If we continuously analyze the rate of increase or decrease of pollution, we will be well aware about what are the happenings, what are the threats. And once we are aware about this stuff, we will not take wrong measures. We will take only the right measures. So real-time analysis and pollution prevention is also very important. Next is use safer chemistry for accident prevention. Now, this topic, use safer chemistry, is way similar to the previous ones, which is like reduced derivatives or better design stuff. So as I said, the topic is revolving around itself. And that was the 12th prevention, safer chemistry for accident prevention. You don't require to use difficult and very dangerous chemicals. Try being simple. Try getting the same results in different ways. So that's all about the preventive measures, the 12 preventive measures of green chemistry. After this, we are going to discuss the role of green chemistry. What is the role of this green chemistry in our life? Role of green chemistry will be discussed in the next episode just after this. I mean, in the same episode and just about this recording. So stay tuned. And if you want to have a break, just stop this recording now. After this will be the next session. So just pause it over here. Take deep breath, relax, and you may continue, because this is not a difficult topic at all. You can complete the entire chapter in a single go. It's not at all difficult because it is only theory, a lot of theory and no reactions. And that is not going to consume a lot of your brain power. So let it go smoothly. You will not even understand you have completed the entire chapter. So I stop here. Let's continue.